This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, it is hour number three. Thanks for joining us. We got Jared Dubin coming up later in the show. We'll talk some NFL. That's what we've been focusing on all morning, week 10 in the league. And you know what? I got to tell you, you know how sometimes there's like the hot thing, the hot technology or the hot stock that everybody gets into immediately, only to find out that that exercise bike, for example, that's the latest in technology, only 3 weeks in after you buy it becomes just a rack for your laundry. We all have done that. We've all gotten caught up in some super hype, and our shelves are filled with disposable kitchen appliances that we thought were going to change everything, and they never did. I mean, think about your wedding registry, for example. How many of you still have a bread maker? Do you still make bread or a rotisserie or anything like that? Do you make cappuccino out of that cappuccino machine that you got, that you had to have? And in a way, NFL quarterbacks are like that. We get really excited about a performance of a guy we've never heard of. And that's the thing. It's hard to be a guy you've never heard of in this league. We follow college football pretty deeply. And then when a player comes out of nowhere and he's starting because of injury and he does really well within that start and we start looking up, hey, where did this guy even go to college? Did he even go to college? I don't remember him at all. And then when he does well enough to make you go, that guy's great. I want to know everything about him. And then we get hyped. And then next thing you know, we start anointing him as a starter. Maybe your team is struggling at quarterback and you'd now like your team to dive into the possible trade of this backup now superstar. Mike White is another example of that in the National Football League. We've seen it time and time again. And Mike White, with his four interceptions against the Buffalo Bills, has crashed straight down to earth. He, again, is that appliance that's in your garage that you never use anymore, that you once thought you'd use every single day. People were talking about how much money Mike White was going to be making because of what he did against the Cincinnati Bengals. But then, when he left that game and injured against the Colts, he still had 95 yards passing and a touchdown in the first quarter. But four interceptions can say a lot, and a huge loss to the Bills have crashed that star down. And now I think the Jets are like, yeah, it's always been Zach Wilson. And now it could be Joe Flacco. That's it. That's how fast it can happen in the National Football League.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Hey, I got a time to tell you about Freol Deep Penetrating Oil. Industrial strength Freol spreads deep into rusted and frozen parts, and it frees them with ease. Its three-part formula delivers three times more lubricant, so it takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. Some of the uses: corroded U-bolts, pillar blocks, universal rusted joints, rusted nuts and bolts, stuck ball joints, seized engines. Freol can help. You can find it on the shelves at AutoZone, O'Reilly, and Napa. Again, Freol is also body shop safe, which means it's safe on paint, plastic parts. It's silicone free. Three times more lubricant. Again, less spray. And you know what? Less elbow grease if you're sort of needing it like I am. Freol deep penetrating oil. Give it a try. We'll get more into the NFL, but I did want to bring this up because Saturday, Ron, I drove up to see my son at the University of Florida, who was not in attendance of the Florida Gator game this weekend. He was studying for a test, like a good, responsible student. But I'm kind of glad he didn't go because Florida was up against the Samford Bulldogs. And on my way home, I had a chance to listen to the great Mick Hubert, who is the play-by-play voice of the Florida Gators, a legendary play-by-play announcer, on my way home. And in the fourth quarter, Ron, Florida scored a touchdown against a team that plays out of the SoCon. Now, who plays in the SoCon? Mercer, Chattanooga, East Tennessee State, and Samford was 4-5 on the season in that conference. Western Carolina is one of them, UNC Greensboro. All right. But in the third quarter, the Florida Gators scored a touchdown. All right. Kenmore Gamble caught a pass from Emory Jones midway through the third quarter. Okay. Now, Mick Hubert on the Gator Radio Network was screaming, "Touchdown, Gators!" Screaming. So let's say you were cruising on I-75 on your way to, I don't know, some vacation, and you were just hitting scan on your dial, and you stumbled upon Florida football, and you went, "Oh my God, who is Florida playing? Are they playing Georgia? Are they playing Alabama? They must be playing a big-time program." Listen to this announcer go nuts. Why was Mick Hubert going crazy in the third quarter? Because Florida scored to break a 42-all tie in the third quarter against a Samford Bulldogs team that plays out of the SoCon. It was 42-42. That made it 49-42. That's how bad that game was. That is fireable. Gators went on to win 70-52 and know that wasn't a basketball score. Because you remember how all week we kept talking about Dan Mullen being on the hot seat there? And Dan Mullen was a great hire. I mean, it was a steal to get him from Mississippi State to get back to Gainesville. This is a fireable job. Even though they won 70-52, the fact that Samford was in this puppy, in the fourth quarter, Samford kicked a field goal to make it 56-52. They trailed by 4 points in the fourth quarter on the road in Gainesville against Florida. I'm telling you, if you are an SEC hater, these are the kind of games that are just meat on the bone, man. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. This should have been 70-3, but instead it's 70-52 because the Gators didn't play particularly well. It was unbelievable.
Any given Saturday,
yeah. I mean, don't forget. I mean, this team looked so good against Alabama. And it's just falling apart off the radar. By the way, speaking of college football, I feel bad for Oklahoma. That thing was cruising along until they ran into Baylor and Waco. Did you know Oklahoma had beaten Baylor 8 straight years until that loss?
Yeah.
Couldn't come at a worse time for the Sooners.
And is the door closed on Spencer Rattler?
I don't think it's closed. Yeah. You think so?
I think it is. I mean, all the hype that was going into the season, he just does not look good at all. And now we know that, okay, the attitude problem that we heard about before is a real thing.
Yeah. But Caleb Williams, the backup's playing pretty well. I know he left that game, but, I mean, he's playing pretty well. I don't know. I think you're right about Spencer Rattler. Maybe you're right. I think Caleb Williams ends up taking that job, keeps it for good. Yeah. I feel bad for Oklahoma.
Big 12. It's a mess. Yeah. Texas.
What happened there?
They're back.
Oh, my God.
You know,
Steve Sarkisian,
I mean,
they could have done that with What was the last coach that just left? What was his name?
Tom Herman,
yeah. Tom Herman could lose to Kansas. You want somebody to lose to Kansas, more than well. I'd be more than happy to take the job to lose to Kansas if that's what you were looking for.
Anybody can lose to Kansas.
Holy cow! Kansas doesn't even want to win games. They just want to show up just to play.
Yeah, that football.
Like, win games? Wait a minute, we're not doing that.
No, they walk
Isn't
out.
Isn't basketball season going on right now?
That's what I was going to say. They walk out saying, "Hey, guys, don't worry. We're a basketball school."
Yeah. Don't forget, we just played Michigan State to open up the season. Remember how fun that was? Yeah, we're not playing football. Why would we play football? Texas, goodness gracious.
Yeah. I guess, you know what? I mean, a lot of people always make fun of the fact that they always say they're back, and I think they are back because this is the Texas that we know.
Ever since Ellinger said that, they've never looked the same.
No,
I've never felt that they looked the same. When he said that, they beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl or something a couple years ago, and they never looked like they were.
No, I mean every single year there's so much promise. You know, they get in these good games, and then they have a game like this where you just sit back going, that's the Longhorns. That's what we know.
By the way, I know the coaches poll and the AP poll don't matter much, but I'm glad Alabama destroyed North Carolina, New Mexico State, so now we really know they're the number two team in the country. Right? Whew. We kind of needed that to figure out if you were better than Cincinnati, but the Crimson Tide, you did not let us down. 59-3 over New Mexico State, well done. Now you get rewarded for climbing over Cincinnati in the polls.
Yeah, that's a close one.
Yeah, well done.
And what was like, Nick Saban getting mad at?
I know. What is his deal? I know it's always coaching. I get it. But come on. Like, I would love to ask an AP writer or a coach's writer. Again, I know it doesn't matter. I know. What was so different about Alabama a week ago that is they're now better than Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Did you really need this game against New Mexico State to sort of feel out the Crimson Tide a little bit? Just to see if they were as good as Cincinnati? Did you need Cincinnati to put up, I mean, what did they win by, 45-28 against South Florida? Like, did you need something in the Cincinnati game to sort of throw you off a little bit? What were you waiting for?
They should have held South Florida to 2 points.
I know, exactly. Oh, South Florida scored 26 points too many? Is that what we're doing now?
Yep.
Like, if you think Alabama is number one today, you thought Alabama was number two. I mean, number two. If you thought Alabama was number two today, you thought Alabama was number two 3 weeks ago.
Hell, you might think Alabama's number one today.
Right.
Did Georgia have as an impressive victory?
Yeah, did Georgia beat their team 59-3?
I don't think so.
By New Mexico. On the one hand, if you're New Mexico State, you want the money from a game like this, but aren't you afraid one of your players is going to get killed? Like, I don't mean killed like hurt. I mean killed like dead.
Yeah.
Totally different athletes.
It looks like, you know, a high school team taking on a junior high team.
Right, exactly.
They're just, I mean, completely different makeup of people.
Because the game is so physical. Like, look, if I have a basketball team in Division III, I'd play Duke tomorrow. I don't care if I lose 100-22. Yeah. I'd play Duke tomorrow and not worry a thing. I'd be like, hey, you want to put you up against the best team in the country? We'll play this team. We'll go to Cameron and have a good experience. But I ain't, if I've got a team like New Mexico State, am I going to Tuscaloosa to play 60 minutes of big boy football with the athletes I have compared to the athletes they have? I don't know, man.
I mean, I know it's a payday.
Yeah, but so that's, take your money and run.
That's really it. It's just a payday.
It's amazing these schools do this. I mean, I get it. You need the money. I mean, it funds everything. I mean,
$1 million
at that school goes a long way.
Does it help out in recruiting as well? Like, can you go to a recruit and say, hey, you know, you join this team next year, we're playing in Tuscaloosa. You're going to go up against the best.
I know I told this story before, but I remember when I was in Charleston, South Carolina, Charleston Southern played Florida. I mean, and the good Tebow Urban Meyer, not this crappy, barely hang on against Samford team. I mean, the good national championship level Gators. And they lost by a million. But I remember, like, when they came back afterwards, we had the head coach, you know, on our show to just talk about the experience. And he did point out, look, none of my guys were ever going to play in a stadium of 90,000 people. Never. Right. We play in, you know, these small stadiums. It's usually like friends and family and a few alumni. We don't play in front of big crowds at our level. To see my kids run out on the field in front of all of those people onto that level, they're never going to be able to do that. Yeah. We knew we were going to lose. We knew obviously it was a tough test, but that's an experience that they'll take. And I sort of bought that. I sort of said, you know what? I'll give it to your guys. Yeah. You know, you probably know. You go to these Division III programs, Division II programs, and they don't play in front of everybody.
I remember when I was in college, my school. I mean, we had a terrible football team. We had nothing. I mean, my high school stadium looked better than the college football stadium that they played
in. Sure, exactly, yeah.
But it was fun, though. You'd go to an actual school, you know, where football is still played, and it would be like walking into a stadium. You're like, wow, you know, college football can be like this?
Yeah, and again,
I never had any experience like with an SEC school where it's like this gigantic stadium. I remember the first time when we moved to Texas and we went to Texas A&M, I was like, I can't believe this is a college football stadium.
No kidding. It's crazy. But again, in those kind of circumstances, the fans obviously are rooting for their team, but they're not exactly rooting against you. They're not booing you and you know, throwing stuff at you. It's not the same as if you're playing, you know, your rival that comes to town. Most fans are smart enough to know what this deal is. We beat the hell out of you. We pay you. You get this cool experience, and we're not gonna rain down insults on you and your family. Right? Like we would if Florida State was coming to town.
Exactly.
Right. So these kids get a really good experience, but just the danger aspect. If you're used to a level, like if you're a certain level of athlete and you're like, I like playing against my level of athlete, and you go up against a 325-pound All-American that's barreling down at you, I mean, it's got to be like, what have I got? What are we doing this for 60 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, you kidding me?
I mean, if I'm the quarterback, I don't know how long I'd want to sit in the pocket.
No.
You know, offensive lineman, defensive lineman. I mean, I feel bad for the offensive linemen because you know in a game situation
that's
like that,
the
they're just overran.
Yeah, they
there's
are,
nothing
the
to do. They're, I mean, they're, you take the largest guy on New Mexico State, and that guy is still the smallest by, you know, the third string guy in Alabama.
I wish I could remember this story, but I remember years ago, it was like Alabama or maybe it was Georgia, one of the top teams. Maybe it was Oklahoma. I can't remember. I really can't remember the story, but I remember the details. There was one offensive lineman for one of these small program schools that was just had a game of his life. And literally guys who were going to the next level were saying how good he was in the post-game press conference. That had to feel amazing when, like, the defensive players like, that kid, he was really good. Like, he was blocking us. We really had a hard time getting around him. And he's playing for, like, Chadron State or something. That must have been $1 million. But normally they get run over, and that's, you know, that's the case. But anyway, the overall point is, congratulations, Alabama. You leapfrogged Cincinnati with that big win against New Mexico State. You sweated this one out, and now you're good to go.
I was worried. I was really, really worried. I didn't know if the polls would ever sync up with one another.
Again, the coaches and the AP don't matter, but it does matter in the minds of a lot of people. So you beat out on the Bearcats. Well done. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Are close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Okay, yesterday afternoon, the Green Bay Packers and the Seattle Seahawks played, and Russell Wilson had a miserable game, a terrible game. And afterwards, he did not want to blame the finger, the injured finger. He said that was not to blame because the Seahawks did get shut out, and he had returned from a finger injury that sort of, you know, we ended up getting Geno Smith for a few games. It was a 17-0 loss, and again, Russell Wilson didn't play particularly well. Okay, here is the conundrum, Ron, and follow me on my logic here because I'm gonna try to break it down a little bit. Russell Wilson had an injured finger, okay? He had a poor performance. Now, conventional wisdom is athletes don't like to blame injuries, right? He went out there, he had a bad performance, had a bad game. He's coming off the injured finger. One of the worst things you can do as an athlete is say, well, you know, my finger was still hurting. I wasn't really 100%. A lot of this is on the finger. I'm sorry. That wouldn't go over well. Would we agree?
Definitely.
Definitely not go over well.
Nah, we'd have to make fun of him.
We would. We would say, okay, we don't like excuses in sports. You don't make excuses in sports. Blah, 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 yeah, blah.
Definitely would have to burn him.
Right. Here's the problem with that. If you're a Seahawks fan, do you say, so is this how you play now with a healthy finger? Is this what we're doing now? Like, so exactly what was the reason you didn't put up any points against the Green Bay Packers in a 17-0 game? Like, if it's not the finger, then what exactly is it? Right? Because now I would be like, we were kind of counting on you to kind of reverse this course a little bit, maybe put us in a little bit of the running, win a couple of games. But if you're off target all the time and you're overthrowing players all over the place and you're only averaging like 3 yards of completion and you're healthy, what do I take from that? So it's kind of a no-win situation, right? Because he cannot honestly say he was completely healthy in that game. He looked terrible. It's not rust. That game was winnable if he had played decent enough. But because he didn't play well, and he can't blame the finger for all of the bad throws that he had, which seems logical, but he can't do it. He just can't do it. It's not something you, as a player, you can do. You just can't. Anybody who's ever done it or implied it, we rip. We always have. Even if we think it's true. Like, any quarterback that ever goes, well, you know, I'm not fully recovered from my knee injury, we go, nope, don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. You're out there. If you're out there to play, you're out there to win.
Yeah, because for me,
perform,
I mean,
that's it.
First thing I'll mention is like, well, if you suited up, then you meant
that's
that
right.
meant you can play.
I didn't hear Philip Rivers complain about the busted wheel he had against the Patriots. He
played on a torn ACL.
Played on a torn ACL. Didn't hear a peep after that game. Said it was a winnable game. We blew it.
The only thing that you heard about Philip Rivers was what I remember mostly is the doctors going, you can't get it. Can't get worse.
Yeah, right. Can't get worse.
How bad is it then?
Go
but
out
yeah,
there
he never he
happens.
Didn't say like you know, if I had a healthy knee, you know, if LT was healthy, we would have gone out and won that game.
Yeah, exactly. So should Pete Carroll have said something? Should Pete Carroll have said, I know he won't say it, but I'll say it. That finger doesn't look quite ready yet.
No, because then that opens the door for controversy, right?
Yeah,
that
that's
opens
right.
the door for
that's
him
the problem with him
of getting the questions like, well, if you knew that, then why'd you play him?
Right.
Why did you put Geno Smith back in?
They ran plays out of the shotgun for him because they didn't want him to be under center, so they didn't want the under center sort of contact. So they ran him out of the shotgun, so that helped out. But he was atrocious. Yesterday he was atrocious. So again, it's just a no-win situation because now if you're a Seahawks fan, you're like, well, that's it. We're done now. That's all right. We're not making any last-second run to a wild card spot. You know, we thought maybe we could salvage something with a win at Lambeau. We'd be 4-5, and that's not great, but it's 3-6. Forget it. That's it. They got to run the table now. They ain't gonna run the table. Now, if you ain't blaming the finger, then what you are blaming on Russell Wilson?
And that's why I don't know why they thought, you know, once they found out that Aaron Rodgers was going to be back, like they thought, oh, you know what, we can get one over on Packers. Like, no, you can't.
Yeah, no, you're not.
Seahawks, you're going to their turf. It snowed all day. This is prime Green Bay weather. This is what they're used to, what they play in all the
snowing,
time.
Snowing, all that. Yeah.
I mean, you know, we know, yes, you know, Seahawks play outdoors. It's a cold weather town as well, but that's a different cold in Green Bay.
I wonder if anybody asked him afterwards. I didn't see the press conference, but I wonder if anybody asked Russell Wilson, well, if it wasn't the finger, then what was it?
Right.
They asked him about the finger, and he did quote, said, my finger felt fine. Okay, then what happened? Like, literally, they accounted 8 overthrows in the game. 8 overthrows and 3 yards of completion. Okay, if you're healthy, if you are a 100% healthy quarterback with no finger issues, then what do we make of this from a Pro Bowl-level quarterback? Right? What can we make out of it? It doesn't seem to make any sense to me. You know, and by the way, Aaron Rodgers got a nice, warm reception from the Packer fans when he came back yesterday. And no doubt, after poor Jordan Love struggled in that game against the Chiefs. Yeah.
I do have Russell Wilson speaking on.
All right, let's listen to Russell Wilson here and see if we can dissect something.
I know myself really well. You know, I know myself really well and know, you know, what I can and can't do and everything else. And feel like I could do everything tonight. Had some runs in the first third down, for example. You know, if I was second guessing my hand, we can go for that, you know, getting hit like that, you know. So felt confident in my hand. I felt confident all the hard work. It was just a bad game in those two plays, really. That was really the defining moments of the game. And you're playing good football teams, that's usually what it is, you know.
No.
They either go your way or they don't. And,
no.
You know, I didn't play timid at all. So that's where I feel confident, you know, is that it just didn't go our way. And that's on me. And it's really that simple. I take the blame for it. And, you know, I'm looking forward to getting on the plane and watching the film and also to getting up early in the morning and getting back to work.
What was the cliche count of that quote?
Oh, my God.
25? Ding, 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 ding.
He went
get
over.
Get back to film. Ding, it's on me. Ding.
Yeah, that
would
was the one.
Would have tried it. Ding. It's just a bad game. Ding.
I love the fact. I can't wait to get on the plane and watch the film. Yeah, right.
Right, sure you are. 20 for 40, 161 with 2 interceptions. I bet you would love to see that 4-yard completion average.
I know.
Sure, I'm sure you're going to love being on that airplane back to Seattle. That's a nice little long flight back to the Pacific Northwest.
And does this fall into the 19 to 20 hours of rehab process?
Right, exactly.
I mean, I know
maybe
you got to take some
you know
off
what?
Now.
How about this? Don't blame the finger. Blame the 3 hours of sleep you got rehabbing the finger. How
All
about
week
that?
Long.
All week long.
Every day you only got 3 to 4 hours of sleep because you're rehabbing.
That wasn't a bad game. Russell, I've seen you play bad games. I've never seen 17-0, 4 yards of completion, 2 picks, and 50% throwing. I've never seen that. All right? It's the finger. All right? Let's be honest here. All right? Now you can't leave the next game with a finger injury. You're going to have to create something else.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Jared Dubin joins us. How are you, Jared?
I'm fine. How are you?
Always good talking to you. All right, so we know that one game, sometimes we like to overreact. We get it. But was there something about last night with Kansas City that makes us think, oh, wait a minute, now the Chiefs are back?
Makes me think that the Raiders probably did not watch the film of the Chiefs from the last few weeks. They came out and played pretty much exclusively single high safety coverages after all everybody has been talking about over the last few weeks is how two high safeties are giving the Chiefs trouble. And then they came out and played like 75% cover one and cover three. So, I mean, it's obviously great to see the Chiefs get back to being the Chiefs that we've seen. I would like to see them do it against a defense that plays the way that has been slowing them down as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a feeling like maybe this is good, but we still need a little bit more work. But how, Jared, when you look at the AFC, without a clear frontrunner, maybe Tennessee is in that category, but how wide open is this conference?
Oh, I think it's definitely wide open. I still can't get my head around buying 100% into the Titans. Like, something about the way that their wins have come together over the last few weeks gives me pause. And then, you know, they keep sort of hemorrhaging skill position players. Obviously, Derrick Henry is out, and now Julio Jones is out for the next few weeks as well. It's tough for me to give them 100% buy-in. I know they got to be, what, two games ahead now?
Yeah.
If I'm remembering correct, or a game and a half ahead of Buffalo, who still has three losses, but look, you got to give them credit for playing as well as they have. And, you know, they have stacked these wins against pretty good opponents over these last few weeks. You know, they beat the Bills, the Chiefs, the Colts, the Rams, and the Saints over the last five games. You know, they started off their six-game win streak with a win against the Jaguars. But after that, they've beaten five, you know, teams that are playoff contenders or better, you know. So credit to them. I'm not 100% sold on them. I still think you got to get the Bills in there, the Ravens in there, the Chiefs in there, but it's kind of muddied at the top with nobody necessarily playing super well other than Tennessee, and obviously they just have some drawbacks in terms of their injuries right now.
How dangerous are the Patriots? I mean, some of their wins have come against some really bad teams, but overall, how do they look to you?
I mean, their defense looks great. And that's the thing that really stands out, and really the only teams that have done super well against them offensively are offenses that have been incredibly tough to stop. Like, I think Dallas is the only team to score 30 points against them this year. And that happened, obviously, in overtime, you know, where they got the touchdown game winner to get them to 35. And, you know, over the last few weeks, you know, they held the Browns to 7, the Panthers to 6. The Chargers only scored 24 against them. Like, It's really tough. I think we knew the defense was going to be better based on them getting a bunch of guys back from the COVID opt-outs and from injuries and things like that. I don't know that we necessarily expected it to be this good. I mean, Matt Judon is basically unblockable at this point. I'm still a little bit worried in terms of the explosiveness of their offense. Can they compete with the best offenses in the league? But they're playing really efficient offense, and that's all they need to do when their defense is playing as well as it is right now.
Jerry, what do you make of what's going on in Carolina with the now addition of Cam Newton, who's now back, the two goal line touchdowns? How is that quarterback dynamic now looking? Could we see Cam starting over P.J. Walker? How do you think that plays out?
I think as soon as he's ready to start, Cam will start. They didn't sign him for $4.5 million for eight games to not start the rest of the season. So I would imagine as soon as they feel comfortable putting him in full-time, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Is the same things that were going on when he got released still going on within that organization? Is there a new room for him under a different sort of coach and a different sort of mindset?
I mean, I would think so. You could look at the way the players were talking about him. Like, Christian McCaffrey came out after the game, and he was like, I've never seen anybody like Cam before. The energy he brings us is unbelievable. Like, clearly the guys there, some of them obviously are new and didn't play with him during his first stint in Carolina, but there are still a few guys there that were teammates with him. And I mean, players in New England said the same kind of stuff about Cam. Everybody that is a teammate with this guy just winds up loving him and wanting to play with him and for him. So I would imagine the same thing will happen there.
With Odell Beckham Jr. now on the Rams, last week it was how is he going to fit with Robert Woods out. Now that may be a little bit clearer, how do you still see it?
Yeah, I mean, look, Odell Beckham is not a one-for-one replacement for Robert Woods. They are extremely different players. Like, I cannot imagine that you're going to see the Rams do the same kind of things with with Odell Beckham as they do with Robert Woods in the run game, for example. Like, everybody knows how important Woods and Cooper Kupp are as blockers in the run game, and they'll even occasionally keep those guys into blocking the passing game. Like, I don't think you're going to see that with Odell Beckham. I think it's more likely that you see Van Jefferson slide into more of the Robert Woods role, and then Beckham slide into the Van Jefferson, DeSean Jackson, field stretcher, deep shot, down the field type of role, maybe with a little bit more volume just because Woods isn't there as the number two guy. But I don't imagine that he's going to suddenly become, the 1B or 1A to Cooper Kupp at this point. There's not enough time for him to fully know the offense the same way Robert Woods does, but I would imagine they'll have, some packages for him tonight against San Francisco. And it's important that they got him because they really have no depth beyond Kupp, Beckham, and Jefferson at wide receiver at this point. They cut DeSean Jackson. Tutu Atwell is on injured reserve, I believe, at this point. The number 4, 5, 6 wide receivers, I can barely remember their names. They're never on the field anyway. So they definitely needed another one of those guys to get in there. And, they got lucky that they had already signed Odell at the time that Woods went down.
They're playing San Francisco tonight. Now, what do you feel is going on with the 49ers? We've had some reasonings behind some failures in the past, but what seems to be going on with this particular team and the way it's being run?
Yeah, I think that a bunch of people have written about this over the last few weeks. Like, Kyle Shanahan, the personnel guy, is sort of undermining Kyle Shanahan, the offensive play caller. They right. keep sort of, aggressively moving up in the draft or going in free agency to target guys that he just ends up not liking as much on the field as he does in the film room. And they, don't have quite as big a role as you would assume they would, or they don't fill the role exactly the way he wants them to. And it's just not working out really well for them. They've sort of lost a lot of their depth to injuries over the last few years. Some of their guys that are, their big stars are not playing as well as you'd expect them to. Like Fred Warner, who just got his big contract, is not having a good year on defense. Jaquiski Tartt is not having as good a year in coverage on defense as you would expect. They lost a bunch of cornerback depth, like Richard Sherman. They let him walk this offseason. And then in week two, I think Jason Verrett gets injured again. And all of a sudden they're playing with, their fourth, fifth, sixth string corners for most of the season. And then just the reason they went up and traded for Trey Lance was because they knew that they didn't have what they needed at quarterback. Garoppolo, he doesn't necessarily take things off the table, although this year he has. He's made a lot of, bad throws this season, but he doesn't bring much to the table either. Anything he gets within that offense is what's schemed up for him. He's not a guy that's getting anything outside of the structure, outside of the throws that, Kyle Shanahan schemes up so that, you or I could make them. That's like the whole point of his offense. But that's not doing enough for them, especially with the talent they've lost on defense. They need their offense to be better than that. I mean, I would think for me, they're going to lose to the Rams tonight. And at that point, they'll be, I think, 3-6, if I'm remembering their record correctly. And at that point, just turn the page, get Trey Lance in there. Their schedule over the next few weeks is very inviting. They play Jacksonville next week, then the Vikings, Seahawks, Bengals, Falcons. Like, that's a very good time to get Lance in there and get him sort of settled into the offense.
Let me ask you about the Browns. They're 5-5. They had a big win against Cincinnati, followed it up with a big loss to the Patriots. Yes, it's a 5-5 record when it seems like a lot of teams have that five wins area. But is there something more here? What is it saying about where Baker Mayfield may be going with the team?
Yeah, I mean, I think he may not be going with the team. It's sort of where it seems like it's heading. They just paid both of their guards a whole bunch of money. I don't know that that's necessarily something you're able to do if you feel like you're about to give your quarterback a big contract, just because there might not be enough room to do that. And, they're another team that runs that Shanahan-style offense where they're sort of minimizing the role of the quarterback, not necessarily that you don't need him to play well, but that it's they basically view the quarterback as an extension of the play caller, and he's there to, you know, be sort of operated with a joystick. And I think that that style of offense leads to a team that is much more likely to turn the page on a quarterback that is good but not good enough. And it seems like, you know, the more we're seeing Baker over the course of, you know, the 4 years now, like, there is less of the super high-level play that we saw, you know, during much of his rookie season and then the second half of last season than there is of, you know, what we've seen of everything else.
Jared, always good talking to you, my friend. Great catching up with you. We'll hope to get you back on again soon. Thank you so much.
Sounds great. Have a good day.
You got it. Jared Dubin, CBS, as we bounce around the league. And a Progressive guest line. Go buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. Some thoughts, especially on what's going on in the AFC North when we come back on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a new home? Rocket can. Tomorrow, we will have top five and bottom five. Of course, we've got the Rams and Niners tonight.
God, I don't even know what to do with that anymore.
I don't either. It's almost like insulting now because there's so many teams bundled up in the AFC. I can't give out goodies to everybody.
Exactly.
You know, some of you are just going to have to be left out. Some of you teams, like, I'm looking at you, Pittsburgh, don't deserve to be on the top of anything right now.
No. And then a team that we kind of wrote off, suddenly are we putting them at number one?
The Chiefs.
Who?
The Chiefs, yeah. All of a sudden now, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, after one game, do they catapult from, you know, not ranked to number one?
Well, it was fun while it lasted.
Which, by the way, that you know, I was looking at the rankings, and it really bothered me that Baylor beating Oklahoma knocked Oklahoma down 8 spots.
Yeah, to 12?
To 12.
Yeah.
And Baylor leapfrogged them, which I get. I understand that. But, I mean, really?
Can't
win. If Cincinnati's to lose any game, do they go from number 3 to unranked?
Are you kidding? If they lose a game, you won't see them at all. They'll be at some middle of nowhere bowl. That was fun. Remember when the Cincinnati Bearcats were good and we loved them?
Remember when people argued?
Oh, yeah. Stupid us. They lost to whoever and, you know, whoever's on their schedule. They still got to play Tulane? Let's see.
Yeah, meanwhile, you know, Alabama loses a game. It's like, oh, we'll drop you down from 1 to what?
Always the case.
You guys want to go to 2 or 3? Which one? We'll put you at 5 this week, but don't worry.
It you know what it is? It's college football hasn't determined, like, they just haven't determined how to deal with certain good football teams losing games. Because you can be a really good team. Like, your quarterback can be Heisman worthy. You could have speedsters, weapons, great defense. But one night, one game, some team got the best of you. And we haven't learned to process what exactly does that mean. Do we give them the benefit of the doubt and say, look, everybody screws up once. You can't be perfect in a 12-game schedule. Or do we say, sorry, you lost, and we got to punish you for it. Because it seems like Alabama never gets punished for losing.
No.
Because they're really good. They've got 5 stars everywhere.
And here's the scenario I want to throw at you, right? This week, I mean, all eyes are going to be on Ann Arbor, right?
Right.
Is it Ann Arbor or Columbus?
Columbus.
It's in Columbus this year?
Which one?
Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah, but they play that. Well, they play that in 2 weeks, right?
I thought it was next week.
No, it's the 27th.
Did I look at the wrong week?
Maryland coming up this weekend. You're looking at Michigan State, Ohio State.
I'm looking at Michigan State. Okay.
Yeah.
That works the same as this for my analogy. Okay. Ohio State loses to Michigan State. How far do they fall? Michigan State losing to Ohio State.
Oh, if Michigan State loses to Ohio State this weekend, yeah,
I mean, they have the same record.
Because they lost to Purdue.
One team's 4, one team's 7. I mean, they're virtually the same team. They're going in at this kind of similarly. And yet, I have a feeling that, you know, the committee, not even the committee, even the guys with the doing the polls, coaches poll, AP poll, sit there and like, well, Ohio State's 4. You know, if they lose to Michigan State, maybe we drop them down to 6, and then we just bump Michigan State up to 5.
I'm telling you,
But if Michigan State loses, like, drop them down to 18. We don't care.
I heard Joel Klatt talk about this, and Joel is got, like, I always used to joke, Joel, and a lot of people do, Joel should be working in college football, like commissioner of college football, because he's got this figured out. He says it's too subjective. It's too many teams and too many variables to be narrowing this down on a criteria across the way. It just doesn't work, right? It doesn't work. You're right. All of these, like, what makes one loss worse than, like, okay, Alabama lost to Texas A&M, okay?
Yep.
Now, Texas A&M turned their season around and were playing really well, right? But then they just lost to Ole Miss. What at the end of the season is Texas A&M going to look like? And should Alabama be judged by that at all? No, because where Alabama is going is SEC championship game, play Georgia, win that game, you're in. It doesn't matter if Texas A&M stumbles down the stretch and loses the rest of their games, it won't matter. If they beat Georgia in Atlanta, they're in. That loss isn't going to touch. There won't even be a legit comparisons on losses, right? There won't even be a, well, what is Alabama's loss compared to Ohio State's loss?
Or yeah.
What is their loss against Oklahoma's loss?
But, you know,
it would be, this is separate. All of you other one-loss teams, you're going to sort it out over here.
But Oklahoma losing to Baylor virtually knocks them out of the college football playoff.
Which, by the way, Baylor was ranked. Texas A&M at the time was not ranked.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's amazing. It's way too subjective. It's crazily subjective. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Denton Day's next. Sportsman Radio.